Welkom bij de leiderschapspodcast van City Life Church. Dit is Leadership Talks.
Hello again, Leadership Talks. And we do this every first Tuesday of the month. I always have a special guest to talk about leadership. And this time I'm very excited. The guest that I have here with me is Pastor Gary Clark. He is originally from Australia, but moved to London, started with a small group of people and built one of the largest churches in Europe. And he has been for many, many years one of my mentors, example. I actually traveled a lot up and down, like once a month for a few years, to sit at your table, Gary, listen and learn and ask questions and how to build church in this modern world. So welcome, Gary, to our Leadership Podcast.
Thanks, Eric. Good to be here.
And I'm very excited that you're here with us. So we always start, it's a good tradition, with this question. Leadership is the problem and leadership is the answer.
John Maxwell.
That's John Maxwell. What's your response to that? Is it, what would you say?
Well, I guess it's true. John Maxwell said it.
Yeah, must be
what
true.
Else could, must be true.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I think that's true, yeah.
Yeah.
If we ever had any drama that I was involved in, it usually was because of me. And then it was expected of me to try and find out what the answer was.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I would agree with that, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So Gary, how long ago was it that you were from Australia? And maybe just a brief background, your occupation. What did you do before you became a pastor?
I was involved in equestrian horse training.
Yeah.
And so I was a passionate, I loved dressage.
Yeah.
Which is, which you here in Holland have had some pretty good dressage.
Yeah.
Dressage horses going around and dressage riders.
Yeah,
so I was very passionate about dressage.
Yeah.
And riding, did that.
Mm-hmm.
Really did as a sport that turned into a career. So I ended up training and teaching to train.
Yeah. You were training the horses, or actually you were training the ones riding the horse, I guess.
Well, I was training the horses.
Yeah.
And then I ended up sort of branching, you know, teaching people how to train horses.
Yeah. So then it's a big step, but then you moved to London to start a church.
Yeah, what was it? We had it was called London CLC, and it was there, and it had a few, you know, churches can have a few dramas, and it was had some drama, and there was a leadership change, and Kathy and myself, we came from Australia to take on what was basically the leadership change of that. And so we had one group went one way, another group went the other way. And we restarted what was called London CLC that became Hillsong Church.
Yeah. CLC is not from City Life Church, but City Life Center. Right?
Christian Life Center.
Christian Life Center from, yeah.
Yeah, that's what it used to be.
Yeah,
I don't know, 23 years ago now. Yeah, 1999.
Yeah. So, a big step to move to London.
Well, it was one of those things where I'd heard from God.
Yeah.
And so I'd traveled to England 4 years prior.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like God put in my heart that I was going to pastor a church here one day.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I just thought, wow, that's pretty random. Kept that to myself. And because of the horse riding, I always wanted to get to Europe. As a kid, I wanted to get to Europe because that's where all the best riders are. That's where all the best horses are.
Yeah.
And so Europe was always in my heart.
Mm.
And then I can remember I was sitting in my office in Sydney, and I felt like the Holy Spirit just spoke to me clearly and said, "The elders are meeting at the moment about asking you to go to London."
Wow.
And I thought, wow, that's pretty specific.
Yeah, yeah.
And then pretty much straight after that, the phone rings and it's Brian's secretary, Megan, who rang and said, Brian would like to have an appointment with you tomorrow. tomorrow afternoon.
Really?
Are you up for that? And I thought, yeah, I'm up for that. Because I think I know what it's about.
And you think the question is coming.
Yeah. So I rang Kathy, my wife. It was about 10 o'clock, 10:30 at night. I was in the office. And I said, don't go to bed. We've got a bit to talk about. So when I got home, I said, do I believe the Holy Spirit has spoken to me about we're going to be asked to go to London? What do you think?
Yeah.
And she said, well, let's wait and see. Then when we spoke with Brian and he asked us, and I wanted to say yes immediately because I just knew it was God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, why don't you sleep on it and tell me tomorrow morning? So
very gracious in time.
So we had overnight it was about 12 hours to think about it.
Yeah.
By the time we got home, went to bed, woke up the next morning. And I said to Kathy, I said, well, what do you think? And she said, yeah. I said, well, why didn't you say so last night? Mm. She said, oh, well, I just wanted to wait till the morning. And so we said yes.
Yeah.
And then 2 weeks later, I was in London.
2 weeks later?
Yeah, and four weeks after that, Kathy was in London.
Oh.
So it was a very quick decision.
Very quick.
Quick move, yeah.
Yeah. And then you took over a church there, small church.
Yeah, and it was, it was an awkward transition, like all church drama always is awkward.
Yeah.
There was the Sunday that Brian sort of said, hey, your old pastor's not here anymore. This is your new pastor. Stand up, Gary. And then after church, there was sort of people meeting out on the pavement and all of that. Well, which way are you going? Are you staying or are you going? Following Sunday, we had 105 people turned up. So that was our starting point.
Yeah.
Started from there.
Now, that grew to one of the biggest churches in Europe, in London, but you also planted churches in different parts of Europe. Can you tell us a little bit, how did that journey, that start, what did you do in the first year or 2 years? What was your focus, your...
I think for about the first 12 months, it was strange because I felt like that the guy who was there prior to me was a very good speaker, and I wouldn't put that down as one of my top skills as a pastor. And so I felt like God just said to me, don't preach from the platform, from the pulpit. Mm. So I just, for 6 to 12 months, I think, nearly 12 months, it was, I just sort of, platform was up there and I just stood in front of it and would just talked and really just, it was more sharing and talking about church and what church could be. And
On the floor instead of the,
And we never saw one decision for so long, I can remember listening to Ray McCauley, who's a great pastor in South Africa, who said, the only way a church grows is by people getting saved. And so you need to do altar calls. So I did an altar call every Sunday for what seemed like forever, and nobody.
Nobody.
And when there's only 100 people, you know there's no new people.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And then one day, one person got saved.
Mm.
She was a girl called Lorna Medlock. Got saved, and from that day forward, there was never another Sunday where no one got saved.
Oh, wow.
And it just turned into ones and twos and threes and fours, and then it ended up in the tens and twenties and the thirties and forties, and some good Sundays we saw literally hundreds of people turn into Christ. So
it's
good.
So you were standing there, a bit more talking than preaching, you say, building culture, building family, building community?
Yeah, I guess in my head, I just wanted people to feel good about themselves, good about Jesus, and good about church.
Yeah.
And then and really just started to just, I guess, really trying to get that sense of really craft our, we got really good at crafting our identity.
Mm.
This is who we are. This is what we're about.
Yeah.
Sense of mission, mm-hmm. Sense of purpose, real clear sense of purpose. This is why we exist.
Yeah.
This is what we can potentially see. And I used to say one day I see we can meet in these West End theatres, you know, in central London, and you know, we're a tiny group of people, and those West End theatres are pretty big.
Yeah.
And everyone thought I was crazy, I think.
That was what I was wondering. People think, really? Do you really think we're going to fill the Dominion Theatre?
Yeah, I can remember once when we said, you know, we could start using the O2, and everyone thought I was completely nuts. But I think the thing that just got in me was, you know, church grows because people get saved.
Mm.
And people get saved because friends bring people to church, or friends reach out to people and lead them to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so my whole focus and my whole goal was, I don't know how successful I was, but was to try and how can we be a church that people want to invite their friends to it? And I used to, in the early days, say, you know, if someone's going to bring a friend to church, they're bringing a friend to show them you. If you haven't brought a friend, you're part of why they're bringing them to church, because they want to bring them to church. They want them to come to know Jesus, and they're going to come to know Jesus because they encounter him. But, you know, let's face it, most of the time we encounter Jesus through people.
Mm.
And so try and make everybody aware that we're all playing our part to see someone from someone else's world get saved.
Yeah.
That was always my goal. As best I could.
Did you have from the beginning the faith that this would become a very big church?
People say to me, you know, do you think what you're seeing, did you imagine that? And I go, well, yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Because I thought, well, I'm moving from one side of the world to the other and taking a big risk.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have a big dream, big vision.
Yeah.
And I always dreamed of the day we'd fill multiple West End theatres.
Mm.
We never get a chance to do that. But that was, so I sort of had a big dream.
Yeah.
I guess that's now Tim's responsibility take everything forward. But had a big dream. I figured we got a big God.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big dream.
Yeah. When you arrived there, were you paid by church full time? What did you do except the Sundays to start build?
We were on salary, but we were fortunate. Yeah. That was fortunate. What do? You've got to have a few meetings to organize church, but it's not that big, so there's not much to organize.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I just, I'd get up in the morning. When we first moved there, I was half hour on the fast train out of central London. So I'd get up in the morning, early in the morning, get on the train, I'd have a breakfast appointment with someone. Then I'd have coffee with someone, and then I'd have another coffee with someone. Then I'd have lunch with someone. Have coffee with someone.
Really?
Sometimes dinner with someone, get on the train and go home, wake up the next morning, do the same thing again.
Ah.
And just for weeks and months on end,
just
constantly catching up with people.
With people from church and probably, mainly from church.
Mainly from church. Just to...
Getting to know them and sharing vision.
Getting to know them and trying to, you know, put sense of vision, sense of purpose in people's hearts. And
that's very personal, very...
I think that's what church is.
Yeah. I think, but not every church does that this way. Is it part of your culture? Is it an important part of your culture?
Well, for me it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, as the church grew, obviously I couldn't
see all of them.
I couldn't do all of that, mm-hmm. so I had to rely on other people.
Yeah.
You know, that's the big tension, is when you're now relying on other people
mm-hmm.
doing what you
yeah.
would do, what yeah. you would want to do, how yeah. you think it. So that's yeah. always a big tension in
mm-hmm.
in leadership.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Now there's many churches around 100 and growing a bit, and one interesting question just here: what, when the church started to grow, what kind of people did you start to hire? Is it worship, kids, work? Is it different pastors would zoom in on different things? What did you do?
Well,
you ended up with a big staff, I think,
yeah,
over 130 people in London.
So
how did you start? Where did you start?
Well, I there was myself on staff and one other person, and he looked after the sort of worship team, you know, Sunday, you know, where you got to have sound systems and all of that sort of stuff. So mm. he looked after all of that.
Yeah.
And then as we grew, it was more about, was the first staff, and most of the first staff was more about how can I staff people that's going to enable me to be more effective,
mm.
Rather than how can I find staff who are doing what I was doing. I sort of, the first people I appointed was people who would empower me to be, so I could be more effective.
Mm-hmm.
Then, because yeah. I think, you know, especially with church planting and first staff and all of that, you know, this is only my take. I think people get, they get where they're at. And if we say here's, you know, there's stages,
mm-hmm.
they tend to jump one or two stages and sort of get too quick to stage two or stage three. Now,
without
me going stage one, two, three, but
yeah.
When you plant a church, it's really about you and the people that are around you,
mm-hmm.
that are helping you, that are volunteering, and all of that. And so it's initial stages, I think, it's about maximizing your impact
mm.
of what, and you know, your impact. You've got to trust the fact that we're graced.
Yeah.
It's God's gifting. It's not our special abilities,
mm-hmm.
but it's God that works through us.
Yeah.
And so the initial stage is, it's how do we maximize the impact of myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, it was sort of key staff that maybe there was areas that this is now, I can't do everything.
Mm-hmm.
So you would put somebody on that was doing a part of what you were doing.
Yeah.
And how do we maximize them? Mm. And, you know, I didn't sort of go, well, it has to be kids' church or it has to be youth or... So, and then as we got going, just started thinking about key roles.
Yeah.
So what was in... You know, we had a fantastic volunteer team with kids' church, so we didn't need to put on a kids' church pastor. We had very few... There was lots of, call it young family type,
mm-hmm.
not really, I guess, sort of not young adult as in, you know, early 20s. It was probably late 20s into early 30s. We had a lot of those, that age bracket people,
mm-hmm.
very few youth, young people, and mm-hmm. even really young adults. And so I thought, well, okay, I'll put somebody on to do that.
Yeah.
And so then it was sort of more about strategic appointments of staff.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was one of the first appointments is Brendan White, who's now in Paris.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Brendan's just a phenomenal guy, and
mm-hmm.
he had a huge impact just when it come to young adult people. And
yeah.
So it's just sort of, hey, this is the right person. If we put this right person on staff,
yeah, Yeah.
And they'll build an area.
Yeah.
So it's sort of strategic.
Yeah.
But initially it was about, you know, empowering the people we had to be more effective because it was them. If that makes sense.
Already my last question. Time is going fast. I know a few of your key guys. You build a very good team. Brandon was one of them, but I know a few of them. They've been with us. If I look at you, I think it's one of your strengths to build a real good core team of guys that together build the church. Many pastors probably think, how do I do this? How do I build a team that's close, that's working together? Few thoughts. I know it's a big subject, but a few keys, thoughts.
Well, it's a bit like, you know, we did the meeting this afternoon and I said, you know, say, what were your greatest successes? What were your greatest failures? I still look back and think my greatest successes were people, and my greatest failings were with people.
Mm.
You know, where I failed people. But I don't know. I just tend to. I think you've got to back people. You've got to believe. You've got to believe in the potential in people, and I think sometimes we wait too long for the potential to prove itself.
Mm.
And the problem is, if we wait too long for the potential to prove itself, they tend to get discouraged and probably disappear.
Takes too long.
Yeah. And so I tried to take the approach that, you know what, I believe God's hands on your life. I used to ask God for eyes, you know, you use the word eyes to see.
Mm-hmm.
Help me see who your hand is on.
Yeah.
Help me see who you have separated.
Yeah.
And I just asked God for eyes to see.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I believed that God would point somebody out to me, I would then work at how do I bring them in, and then how do I empower them and let them go, and trust that God's hand is on them, and God's going to guide them, and but believe in that. Just, you have to believe in their potential. You can't sort of bring somebody in and go, well, wait and see.
Mm.
I took the attitude of, you know, it's my own little saying to myself, I'll back everybody like a winner until they prove to me that they're not.
Mm. Wow. Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah.
And so treat everyone like they're a winner.
We had Dan Watson also in this leadership podcast. He was one of your guys, really in your core team. And he said, the Sunday nights at Gary's house. The Sunday night. He mentioned it like that was something special. What did you do on Sunday nights in your house with the guys?
We just did pizza and got together. And sometimes I might share, not very often, because I was too tired. But we just really, the attempt to say, come on, we're all one group of people. But my goal was, you're all one group of people, not all one group of people like this with me, but you're one group of people together, and together we might be able to do something special for God, you know?
Yeah.
So it was just a really good social environment.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear someone liked it.
He liked it.
That's good.
Yeah, and it was late sometimes. It got late these nights. Yeah, yeah. So, but our time is already up. Thank you, Gary. As I said, I'm very thankful for who you are and Kathy in our lives, Mathilde and I, and the team, and Joshua, and he's been at your table a lot as well. And all the people that you send from London to help us build, and the fruit is there. So that we are very thankful for who you are. Nice. Thank you for this weekend. You're here with us the whole weekend. These days now you travel around in the all over the world actually to coach pastors with all the knowledge and all the insight that you have. So I wish you all the best. God bless you in all that you do, and thank you again for all that you've been to us so far. All right, this was Leadership Talks again. We hope you like it. And we hope if you like it, share it with friends and let us know if you have any questions or comments. And we will be with you again every Tuesday, fourth Tuesday of the month. Hope to see you then. God bless.